Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
F-R-I-E-N-D-S. Jam's Friday Friends.
Yes, we were doing this and then we weren't doing this and then we stopped doing this because the line was so bad. But Rory O'Neill is on the blower now. Rory, how's it going?
I'm good, Jen. Now I can hear it clear as a bell.
That is better because we don't want to miss a second of what you have to say. We have to talk about something. It was in the news. 6 a.m. closing times with these new licensing laws. This whole idea that bars and nightclubs can stay open until 6 a.m. But I was really worried that it's the end of the house party. Now, you must have been at a fair few of them over the years. Are there any you can actually tell us about the house party?
There's very few that I'd be comfortable speaking to you on the airwaves about, where my mother might accidentally be listening to, you know, to your show as she's been driven somewhere by my younger, you know, nephew or something. I tell you what, it's not the end of the house party because, you know, I've spent loads of time, as I'm sure you have too, in lots of other European cities and further afield, and they have house parties.
They do. Yes, they are. They're very bright because they happen after the club. But what, I mean, when it comes to the industry, do you think it's a feasible thing to do? Do you think it would work here in Ireland?
Of course it would.
Yeah.
It's always this weird idea that we can't do things that other places do because somehow we're special and especially bad. You know, people go out clubbing and go to after parties and shock hard, they go to illegal after parties too in this country for years.
Yeah.
So just, you know, bringing us into, you know, line with everybody else is a long, long, long overdue. Like, I won't bore you on the subject here, Jen, but my God, our licensing laws are absolutely archaic. And wildly expensive and you know, to navigate and confusing. You know, there are barristers in this country who only do licensing law because it's such a specialized, complicated, archaic, weird, obtuse thing.
Wow.
So, yes, we need to just, you know, bring it up to speed. And, you know, people often, you've got me, I'm going to be pet hates here now.
Go on. No, it's interesting.
People often
stuff.
Complain, you know, about Ireland, you know, say Dublin now, and there's all super pubs and all that. Yes, and that is the fault of the licensing laws. You know, in another country, if you're in Spain, you want to open a little bar, you know, the kind of little bar you go to when you're on holiday.
Love them.
You can pay 50 euro to the local council and open your little bar. And as long as you're not, you know, a criminal or something, they'll give you the license for 50 euro. And you can open your little bar and you can make a nice little living serving, you know, 30 people a night. In Dublin, that is never, ever, ever under the current system ever going to happen again. So although Bord Fáilte sells Ireland around the world on the image of the little local pub, they have killed the little local pub because a license nowadays and all the stuff that goes with it to open a bar in Dublin, well, anywhere really, obviously I'm talking from experience in Dublin, It is so expensive that in order to ever hope to make your investment back, you need to open a super pub now, you know, and serve thousands. It's insane.
Wow. And that's something that's never really talked about. That's really interesting stuff. So you welcome these new laws? You think it needs to happen sooner rather than later?
I absolutely do. Now, it won't affect, you know, Panty Bar because we aren't going to be a late bar ever and all of that. But I absolutely think that, you know, if you're 23 and you want to go dancing at 3 a.m., off with you.
Off with you. Absolutely. Well, that's in the future. But in the meantime, what is happening this weekend in Collins Barracks? Are you going to wreck the gaff? What's happening? Tell us.
I am absolutely going to wreck the gaff. Tomorrow in Collins Barracks. Like, for me personally, it is my first in over, well, it's nearly 2 years now. It's my first gig in front of real, live, actual, breathing people who can cheer and clap and throw things. So in Collins Barracks tomorrow, Mother Club is hosting its, you know, summer block party in the grounds of Collins Barracks, like a proper hands-in-the-air festival-style gig. Super queer. Every drag queen, you know, within 200 kilometers is going to be appearing on stage, but also Elaine May, Denise Tyler, the mother DJs. Yeah, it's going to be gas.
It's on 4 till 11. It's a full day and night thing. It sounds absolutely unreal. I think there's some tickets available. Our very own Conor Bean is going to be DJing as well. And you can go
indeed.
And check out.
My neighbour, Conor Bean.
Oh, listen, funny you should say that. Because on Tuesday, we were actually talking about Nightmare Neighbours, and I would love a few stories on Connor.
Connor is a delightful neighbour.
Shut up, he is not.
He feeds the dog when I have to go away. Yes, lovely neighbour. Occasionally, I'll have him in for a gin and tonic.
Okay, I do believe that. But you're an owner of a bar beside apartments. Are you the nightmare neighbour?
No, I'm not. You know, at the moment, as you're probably aware, there's a public consultation at the moment about the pedestrianisation of Cape Street and Parliament Street. And I'm quite sure that some of the objections that are going to be around crowds, you know, gathering on the streets outside pubs at the moment. But that has absolutely nothing to do with pedestrianisation, and it's just to do with the restrictions, because there's nowhere for the kids to go, you know, dancing, and can't go to nightclubs, they can't go to late bars. So some of them are gathering on the streets outside. Well, the weather might have changed that today, but that'll all end as soon as the restrictions end. For years, going back a good few years, I lived above O'Donoghue's pub on Bakersfield. I lived on Ely Place, and all my windows looked down over O'Donoghue's pub, which had live music 7 nights a week in their outdoor courtyard during the summer and 5 nights a week during the winter. And I never once complained about it, because there are advantages and disadvantages to living in the city centre, and advantages and disadvantages to living smack bang in one of the social areas of the city centre. And that's just sort of life in a way. And we've been there for 14 years. Of course, occasionally we have neighbours. But
everybody understands. I mean, if you're going to move in next to a panty bar, absolutely.
Exactly. If you're going to move above a bar. The city centre needs to be able to breathe and live and all of that. And, of course, we try to be as respectful as possible of the neighbours. And that's why we don't do late bar, for example.
Good on you.
There has to be some sort of give and take where, you know, not kill off the city centre.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's been a bit of a discussion online recently about whether Dublin has lost its soul, you know.
What do you say to that?
Well, you know, there are problems, and a lot of hotels, I mean, 4 hotels are going up, you know, within a couple of 100 yards of Panty Bar, for example. I'm looking out my own window in my own apartment at the minute, and my view is obliterated by a hotel that got built. So there are, of course, problems, but I'll tell you one thing. There's no lack of soul in Dublin 1. And if you think Dublin has no soul left, you need to, you know, walk a bit further when you're out. I love Dublin, passionately love Dublin. And I love Dublin 1, and I love the city centre. I would never want to live anywhere else. And I want it to be a great place to live, work and socialise. And sometimes it feels... like the parrot.
The odds are against you.
The odds are against you, but I ain't giving up.
Good on
I
you.
I love this city, yeah.
Speaking of which, I mean, you have lived all over the world. You lived in Japan for a while, but on Monday we're talking about stereotypes and Irish people getting stereotyped when they are abroad. You know, stereotypes of being like leprechauns. Do you care about any of that slagging we get for being paddies when you're away, or how do you feel?
Listen, I'm Irish, so of course, if somebody with an English accent is calling me a paddy, I am going to rankle. But do I care if Notre Dame, has a picture of a leprechaun on their flag? No, I don't give a damn. I'm not a leprechaun, so why would it offend me? No, I don't care. I'm confident enough in Irishness not to be bothered by that. But here, I'll tell you something. You know, there was a time when I might have felt differently, but there was a time when I hated being Irish. You know, when I was, you know, a college student and all that, living in Dublin in the grey, dreary 80s, and, you know, I was a queer boy, and it was literally illegal, you know, to have sex with another fella until I was, like, 25 or something. And I ran out of Dublin in 1990. You know, I couldn't get far enough away. I thought this was a backward, miserable place that hated me. And that's why I went to Tokyo. I said, I'm going to be the biggest city in the world. And I had to go to the ILAC library before the internet and find an encyclopedia and look up the biggest cities in the world. And my choices were Mexico City or Tokyo. So I went to Tokyo. But I tell you, about 3 years into me living in Tokyo, it was the first time ever that there was some sort of celebration around St. Patrick's Day. It was very tiny, whatever, but I heard about it. And, you know, in Japan, they don't know anything about this country. They don't know where it is. They don't know what it is. If you say to somebody, I'm from Ireland, they all think you say, I'm from Iceland. And I spent the first 2 years correcting people, and then I just gave up, because what's the point? Okay, yeah, I'm from Iceland. And then they'd ask you about skiing, you know. And this year that I heard about the first St. Patrick's Day stuff, I was working in this giant nightclub at the time, like 7 floors, huge industrial building. And I go to work that night, and the manager comes up to me, and he says, Panty, there's a group of people also from Iceland coming here tonight to celebrate King Patrick's birthday. And I was just like, oh God, the last thing in the world I wanted was to meet Irish people. I mean, I wanted to forget about this place mm-hmm. then. And I didn't want to have fake conversations about the GAA or whatever, or how much I was supposed to miss Barry's tea or whatever, you know. And because I didn't. And so I ran around the nightclub just before we opened, going to every single member of staff on every single floor saying, do not tell the people from Iceland that I'm also from Iceland. You know? And so it's weird to me now, you know, in a way, how much yeah. things have changed. You know, my attitude has changed to Ireland so dramatically because Ireland has changed so dramatically.
Is that, I was going to say to you, you said you ran out of this country, a place that you thought hated you and you wanted to get as far away as possible from
yeah.
it. So where did you get the love for it? Because, you know, 2 minutes earlier you were saying, I love the soul of this city. You're so passionate about and you love living here. Did that change with the referendum? Did it happen sooner? Where did the shift happen?
Well, I think a few things changed. One is Ireland is a bit like COVID. It keeps drawing you back in, you know, and every time you think you've escaped, it pulls you back. Mm. And so, you know, I am Irish and I'm Irish to my core. And that, mm-hmm. you know, I was never able to fully extinguish that when I was wanted to. And then on top of that, I grew older and I got a more perspective on the world and came to appreciate the things about Ireland that I wanted to keep. And then Ireland did itself change very dramatically. You know, the things that drove me away were Ireland's really backward social attitudes, you know, to queers and to women and to sexuality and, you know, all of those things. And that Ireland changed.
Yeah.
And you're right that the referendum in 2015 really felt to me like a really big marker of that change. I actually think Ireland had changed before the referendum,
yeah.
but the referendum really marked that change.
Yeah.
So now I love living here and I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. And I love living in Dublin. And even though it has all its awful problems with, you know, housing and rents and, you know, too many hotels and not enough, you know, homes and, you know, all these, and this horrible attitude to constantly prioritizing the car over everybody else and all of these things that drive you mad living in the city center, I still wouldn't want to live anywhere else. I mean, every place in the world has its problems. And, you know, sometimes I think you see all the Twitter outrage and people, this country is the worst. And I think, you know, people need to travel more because we have our problems, but we also have a lot to be proud of about this country. And so I do love it, and I don't want to live anywhere else. And I do feel passionate about it and making it better. I'm not, you know, I'm not giving up. And also, we've already proven we have the capacity to
make change,
you know, for great change and to do things right. So, yeah, I want to continue.
We haven't lost our soul. We haven't. We haven't. We just need to change the licensing laws because I really quite like the idea of that little bar that only serves like 30
well,
people.
Well, this horrible attitude on high that, you know, nighttime isn't worthwhile in any way and that, you know, nighttime culture isn't worthwhile when actually it's the basis of all other culture. Every artist talks about their work, you know, over a few pints in a pub or in some dingy club at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
That's where all this stuff is bred and comes from. God, Jen, this conversation has been much more serious than I expected.
Me too. Well, we won't start talking about maintenance sex after all that you've said, because I think it was very important what you said, and I think you made a lot of very good points. And you made me very hopeful for the future, and thank God for people like you. And you're not allowed to go anywhere, especially tomorrow night. Where is the best place? Just remind people again about this block party that's going to be whopper.
At the Museum of Ireland at Collins Woo. Barracks, the Mother Summer Party. Me, Denise Chyla, Blue Hydrangea, Elaine May, Victoria's Secret, Shirley Temple Bar even. She's coming out.
Oh, my
God.
She
never comes out.
It sounds absolutely epic, and we can all celebrate the soul of this great city. Rory Panty, thank you so much for joining me on the show today, and I'll chat to you soon, okay? Thanks,
bye.
Love. Bye, bye, bye. There we go. Rory O'Neill, a.k.a. Panty, being an absolute legend and speaking the truth.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.